The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Watching as we get ready to go live tonight. God bless all of you for coming tonight as we shared in the testimony and praise reports and prayer needs, because we have a lot of people that are in need of prayer tonight. And it's important that we continue to be intercessors to fill in the gap and to pray for people and pray for safe travels and pray for those that are sick. Amen. Because we've all been in those places. Amen. Right? So even though you're doing good right now, don't give up on your prayer time, because there's someone else that needs your prayers. Right. And me included. I'm always looking for intercessors. I'm always looking for ones that will say, hey, I will pray for you in this church. I say, amen. You're my hero. And it's like the unsung heroes out there. And by now, hopefully those are watching and that you're blessed. Amen. And so we've got a good word for you today. I don't know. Some may like it, and some it might be ouch, because I feel like preaching, but I'm going to try to teach. Amen. I hope you got something on Sunday, because the Lord was moving. And we're going to continue in that tonight as we go, and we're going to be talking a little bit about Gideon tonight. And we're going to be talking about Israel's problems. We're going to be talking about the world's problems. We're going to be talking about possibly some of your problems, some of my problems possibly. And we're going to be talking about breaking the vicious cycle. Because Israel had a problem. Israel still has a problem. The world still has a problem. United States still has a problem. And there's a vicious cycle to be broken, if you can see through the scriptures tonight as we get in the Word. And we talked a little bit about having peace with God, having peace in your life, and peace be still. How many of you needed the wind to calm down this weekend? Amen. And yesterday, what day was it? Monday, when the wind was blowing. We need some people to be saying, peace be still, and praise God, our roofs are still down, everything's still good. Amen? Amen. So I hope by now you're here in the sanctuary, you're in Judges chapter 6, and those that are watching online as we do our Bible study tonight, God bless you. And I pray that you're well. I pray that you get here. You get in the house of the Lord. And I pray that this Sunday you make it your choice to be in the house of the Lord. So let's go into Judges chapter 6. And we're going to talk about this cycle, because throughout the Old Testament, as I try to teach tonight, is that there's this cycle that I see all the time, and it's repeating itself. And that is that people will find themselves in trouble. They'll cry out to the Lord for help. God will rescue them. Then they'll get everything right, and they'll be faithful for a while. And then things will get comfortable. Sin will take place, maybe. Maybe a little idolatry will take place. Maybe a little sexual immorality will take place. And then they go through lack again. And then they cry out to the Lord again. And then the Lord rescues them again. Do you see the pattern? And this was Israel's problem back during Gideon's days. And I'm seeing it repeat history all over again. And you're seeing it repeat history, maybe even in your own families. Amen? Where the Lord is so good, the mess is all taken care of, gets comfortable, and now I'm going to go back to my old ways. So let's begin reading. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So here's the cycle. Where are they at? They went through blessings. God opened up the Red Sea, didn't he? They walked on through. They seen miracles. They seen signs. They were blessed. They were pulled out of bondage. They were pulled out of their mess. Right? And here they are right back in it, right back in the pig's pen. They did evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel because the Midianites, the children of Israel, made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountains. Verse 3. So it was whenever Israel had sown, Midianites would come up. Also Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. 7 years. Can you imagine 7 years of planting your garden and somebody comes in just when you're getting tomatoes and just when you're growing your radishes and you're just getting sweet corn and you're like, I got some zucchini. I'm going to make some zucchini relish and I've got some corn and I'm gonna make some green beans and everything's getting ready to go and somebody comes in and just starts taking your garden. 7 years. You start making some good money, and all of a sudden the thief comes in and takes some of your money. Yep. Everything's going good, and then all of a sudden, oh, here's an expense, and here's an expense, and here's another expense. And then you do another year, and oh, I'm gonna plant my garden again. I'm gonna really do it this year. And then all of a sudden, here comes the Midianites again, taking your green beans, taking your sweet corn, taking your tomatoes, no more salsa. God delivered them over, and the Midianites took and took and took just at the right time when they'd sown seed and were expecting a harvest. 7 years of this. That cycle needs to end. If you've been having things taken from you, it's time to take a stand. Come on, now I feel like preaching that a little bit. It's time to take a stand and say, listen, not my lentils. You ain't taking my lentils. But you know what it's going to take? It's going to take us standing up for what we believe in. It's going to take us getting right. It's going to take us getting in position of authority, our spiritual authority, understand who we are in Christ. It's going to take us maybe repent and turn. Remember I talked about in Leviticus about using up our whole day if we're not setting aside time for the Lord? Right? How are you going to grow in the Word if you don't set time for God? How are you going to grow in your prayer life if you don't set aside some time to pray? How are you going to see God bless your finances unless you're faithful with the little? Amen. If you're not faithful with the little, how can you be ruler over much? Why should God bless you with 100 if you're not faithful with a dime? Amen. I know people don't like to hear that, but that's Bible. That's as it is written, thus saith the Lord, if my people would humble themselves and turn, repent, turn from their wicked ways. Pray. What's His promise? That He'll heal your land. What's the matter with America? Why won't we humble ourselves before the sight of the Lord? We are in this vicious cycle, right? And the Lord will allow things to happen until we cry out to Him. Because look what it says. Then they would encamp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza. There goes the green beans. And leave no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor donkey. There goes my deer. There goes the cows. There goes the sheep. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, coming in as numerous as locusts. You know why it says numerous as locusts? Because it just comes in and just devours everything you got. Anything extra. That's what the enemy likes to do. He likes to kill, steal, and destroy. Right? Both they and their camels were without number, and they would enter the land to destroy it. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. Lack. I don't know about you all, but I am done with lack. Amen. Can I get amen? Amen? I've lived in the land of lack. I know how to get out of the land of lack. God has sent me to help people get them out of the land of lack if they would receive. And you have the same anointing that I do because it comes from the Lord, to help them come out and be separate and be out of that land of lack. Because we're called to be the head, not the tail. Above, not beneath. Hello? Are there still rainy days? Yes, because it says it'll rain on the just and the unjust. There's still going to be days that things don't go well. But let me tell you, you're supposed to be rising and flying above the storms like the eagles do. Come on. Come on. You're called. You have purpose. You have worth. So Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Here we are. They were faithful. They were living right. Then they were doing evil in the sight of the Lord. So what's the Lord do? Hands them over. You don't want to live my way? Go live with the hogs. Go live in the trough. Go see what happens. You wanna play the fence? There you go. I'll let you go. He's not a dictator. He's a gentleman. He wants you to come to him. He's not going to force you to worship him. You have to desire to want to worship him. You have to desire to want to pray for him, pray for people. You have to desire to be in this word. Come on, somebody. Amen. This may sound a little tough tonight, but we got to get somewhere. And the remnant has to rise up, because if the remnant doesn't rise up, then you ain't the remnant. Because the remnant shall be stronger. Remember what we talked about in Daniel? Those that know their God will be strong and will do exploits. Are you strong today? If you're not strong, we got to get you strong. If you don't know your God, then you need to get closer in the Word. You need to get more in prayer. Amen? Because He's calling us to be strong.
Amen.
Above, not beneath.
Right.
He's calling us to say, not my lentils. You done messed with the wrong person. Now that I've caught you, now you got to return to me sevenfold.
Yes.
I'm going to have a whole bunch of green beans. We went through a period of time where we found ourselves almost living some of these scriptures. And I don't know what the deal was, but my beautiful wife said, enough's enough. I'm putting my foot down. I'm tired of the enemy trying to wreck our finances. I told her, I'm tired of the enemy trying to take the seed of salvation from those that I'm planting. How many of you have been planting seeds and can take the finances out of this, take the material things out of it? How about the seeds that you planted in people's life and the enemy comes in and just takes it? I think it's about time we say enough of that too. Right? The children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Here we are. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites. Sometimes God will let you go through some things so that you will get right with Him. I hate to say that, but sometimes we have to go to the blacksmith shop to learn to go His way. Right? There's been some hard lessons in life. I'm pushing 50. And I've had some really hard lessons already. They cried out to the Lord because of the Midianites. And the Lord sent a prophet to the children of Israel. And I talked about that on Sunday, about how people want the psychiatrist help, they want the banker's help, they want the roofer's help, they want the car dealership's help, they want everybody else's help. Help me win the lottery. Help me do this. Help me with a job. Help me. But they don't want to hear the word of a prophet that tells them how to get right with the Lord. Anybody else go through that other than me? Where you've tried to bless them out of what's the Bible says? The greatly impoverished lifestyle. And you try to help them through the Bible. They don't want that. They just give me. We tried to bless a person one time. We took food to them, had all kinds of different food in a box. These people were hurting. pick through the box because there's certain food that they didn't want to eat in it. It's like, can I have different food that you're bringing me for free? I was shocked. I'm like, you have nothing to eat, no electricity, your water's barely on, and certain foods you still don't want to eat. How does that happen? Talk about a prideful sense of entitlement. If I was that low to the ground, I'd be taking anything I get. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your help. I appreciate you. You know, why does it take someone getting clear down in the bottom of the wagon wheel rut before they get their eyes up? Why do people have to be flat on their back, being like these that have had the Midianites come steal their stuff all the time? How does that happen? Why does it take that? But sometimes it does. But God, in His ultimate knowledge, sends a prophet to the children of Israel who said to them, "Thus says the Lord of God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage." You know what? Everyone here at the sound of my voice, the Lord's brought us out of bondage. There's anything, we won't throw out our dirty laundry. But we all know that God has brought us out of something and helped us through something or opened a door for us. You know, that Red Sea experience, not only did He bring people out of that mess, but He brought them through their mess to the other side. Amen? And here we have a reminder to these people. And it's a reminder I have for anyone watching me tonight. God brought you out of that stuff. Why go back to it? Why go back to the leeks? Why go back to the straw? Why go back to the mud? Why go back to the old? It wasn't working then, and it's not going to work now. Why go back to that trough of the pig slop when the blessings of God, the grapes, remember that message that Brother Luke he had a few months ago about the promised land and Caleb? Remember that? It's right there in front of you. Why can't you attain it? But people get comfortable. They get in this lazy boy Christianity. They go from crisis to I'm good to lazy boy. Oh, I need you again, Lord. Yes, you do. You do need the Lord. Because many, the Lord has given a job. He's protected us. He's given us homes. He's given us food. He's given us raises. He's given us jobs. Who do you give credit to your success? Right, remnant? We have recognized that without the Lord, we're nothing. Come on, somebody. Right? I brought you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. Whew. Also in verse 10, I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not fear the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but you have not obeyed my voice. Oh, ouch. Are we living in a land of disobedience today? I would have to say yes. So how do we break the cycle? Obey the word. Doesn't Deuteronomy say that Deuteronomy 11, these curses or these blessings, choose? I set before you, choose this day whom you're going to serve. How do you break this cycle? Repent and turn, right? Ask for forgiveness, cry out to the Lord. The chain can be broken, this cycle of sin, to lack, to rescue, to back on track. Why does this cycle keep happening throughout the Old Testament? Anytime it happens and people cry out, God sends a messenger to help them get out of their mess, i.e. Gideon. The prophet came in, told him, hey, you've forgotten this. And then he sends Gideon to help rescue, just like Moses. Right? Just like Pastor Burkhart, when I met him. I was in a mess. And God sent me to him or him to me, whatever you want to call it, however you want to say it. I didn't need to hit the Powerball. I wanted to hit the Powerball. I needed the Word of God spoken truthfully so that I could get free. But you and I are not going to free anybody or help anybody if we distort this Word. Come on. I'm going somewhere. Because what did these people do evil? That's what we're going to teach about a little bit. And we're going to read about, because Gideon had an assignment. I'll try to get us on point. During this time, they worshipped Jehovah and they worshipped Baal. And when you blend two religions, I'm gonna introduce you to a word called syncretism. Syncretism. In my study, I recently learned through getting in this word, and the Lord showed me how we have people today believing in Jehovah, believing in Jesus, believing in the Word, but yet they have idolatry blended in, sexual immorality blended in. You see, people worship Baal and Asheroth. You ever heard that in the Bible? So they worshiped the God of Abraham, but then they added to it and had this blending of worshiping Baal. Yeah, it's a problem. Here you have two sides, and only Jesus is to be worshipped. God is to be worshipped, not these other false gods. And when you start blending in, you have untruths. Just like back during the serpent, back in Genesis chapter 3, Genesis chapter 2. It all goes right back to that. Right? When God said he made them male and female. You know, God made it really easy to tell men and boys from girls and women. Amen?
Amen.
It's not difficult, but how's come today we have this, like everybody fell and hit their head and don't understand what the difference between a boy and a girl is anymore? Right? Come on. How's come in the Bible, clear back in Genesis, he made them male and female? It's very easy to tell, but here we have people today that parents are not teaching their children right from wrong. They're not teaching them that, hey, you're a boy. There's a blending going on. There's a blending where killing babies is okay, but they call themselves Christians. Which one you serving? Right? There's evil in the land because people are diverting this Bible, and there's idols out there. You know what an idol is, right? Anything you put above God. I used to have an idol. Did you know that? I had an idol in my life. I said I believed in God. Everybody believes in God. Everybody believes in Jesus. The devil believes in Jesus, right? How many times you heard that? He believes in more than you do, right? But my idol was fishing tournaments. My idol was the little fish. Loved to fish. But when going fishing is more important than me coming to church, how can you serve two masters? You either love the one or you don't love, you know what I'm saying? An idol can be anything. It can be golf. It could be your wife. It could be your husband. It could be whatever you place above God. And that's what was going on in here. And God's not going to share his glory with anyone. Hello? So they did evil in the land because they worshipped two different sides. So Baal was a nature god. He was tied to sexual immorality. Okay? And also there was Ashtaroth, which was the female version of Baal. And both of them are tied into sexual immorality stuff. Are you seeing Christians today that are blending the Word of God and saying that this sexual immorality is okay and this is okay? Are you seeing it today? You see, there's a problem in the land. There's evil in the land because people have not made this the authority anymore. They've questioned this, just like back in Genesis chapter 2 and 3. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way through it. And we have a problem because we have people that are blending this word and watering down this word to fit their own lifestyle. Amen? And God sees it all. How do we help people break the chain? How do you love them to Christ? How do you break this chain of sin and worshiping of self or worshiping of pornography and gambling and drinking and drugs and all the stuff that goes with? How do you help them get out of the bondage? How do you break the cycle of sin? I'm talking even Christians that people call themselves saved but are totally visible to everyone else that they're not all in. How do you help them? So let's help some people break the cycle. If you don't know, then you need to know, right? Jesus is the way. Start there. If you're ashamed of Jesus, he says he's going to be ashamed of you before the Father. If you're ashamed to share your testimony, you have a problem. If you're ashamed of the Word of God, if you're ashamed of your church, you have a problem. Hello? John 14:6 says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through Him, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? Bible students? Right? Jesus asked him, In John 14:1, he talks about the way, the truth, and life. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In 6, he says, Jesus said to him, because Thomas is doubting, right? Jesus said to him, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see today that people are trying to make several ways to God and several ways to heaven? What's going on there? They're blending the Word of God to fit their own lifestyle, to justify the sin and the lifestyle that they're in, and they need somebody, a messenger of God, who's going to confront this stuff instead of playing around. Anybody want to sign up today? Because you're going to go against some stuff. You're going to go against some people that are going to get offended when you call the things out that says, listen, this is not right before God's eyes. You can do it if you want. I'm not going to condemn you, but it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I'm sorry, there's one way. I'm the way, Jesus said. He's the door. So you have to go through the door. Amen? No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you know people and religions that are trying to blend this and say, oh, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay? Ain't no one going to give their heart to Christ until they realize that they've sinned and fallen short of the glory and in need of a Savior. And if you as a messenger of God, a prophet, a pastor, an evangelist, whoever, if you sit here and go, well, God's okay with that, all you're doing is blending religions and making things okay, and there's no conviction anymore that says, eh, I'm okay, you're okay. No, I was lost. You're either lost or you're saved. Come on, right? And you love people, yes, but one of the things I'm dealing with is that we're running out of time, and it goes back to that house on fire or like the guy at the Titanic. It's like people are dying. If we don't tell them about Christ and tell them the right way to be saved, how are you ever going to lead anybody if you don't know the right way? And if you blend it and say, well, I didn't want to offend them, I'll offend them anymore in Jesus' name, because it's time to get right live right so you can die right, as Pastor Sparks would say. Pastor Jack Sparks would say. And we've all followed suit. Right? So John 14:6, break the cycle. Which way do I go? Jesus' way. You want out of debt? You want out of impoverished life? You want to see your family saved? You want to see things change in your life? You want to see the lack go away? Jesus is the way. How can I say Jesus? Well, go to Acts chapter 4. Can we go there? Acts chapter 4. Go a little bit to the right. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. Verse 12. Are you there? The Bible says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. That's your Bible. Jesus is the only name. There's no other name under heaven. There's no one else that can take away your sins. There's no one that paid your price. There's no one willing to take your the price that it costs. Right? Acts, just go a little bit to the left. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The Bible says, repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. Why? So that the time of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. You're leading somebody in the way they should go. They need a prophet. They need a messenger. They need someone that's going to tell them the truth in love. We have to be able to point people to Jesus. You can give them all the money you want. It's only going to band-aid the situation. We've seen it. You can help them with jobs. You can help them with cars. You can help them with their life. You can buy shirts for them. You can bring them all the food you want. But until they get right and cry out to the Lord and repent and turn, no one wants to hear it. Kill the messenger, they say. But they're going to cry out to the Lord, and He will come rescue them, because He does, while they have breath. As a tree falls, so it is, so don't wait too long. It's time to get right with the Lord, right? It's time to get all in. Send the messenger. Are you ready? You can love them. This isn't meant to be harsh, but you have to tell them the truth. That they're not going to see a time of refreshing until, what happened to Israel in the Midianites? Till they cried out to the Lord, right? So now go with me, jump a little bit more to the right. We're bouncing a little bit, I know, tonight. But this is Bible study, right? The reason I'm telling you this is because there are people that have twisted the Word of God, and they're making the Word of God, the Gospel, the Bible, of no effect. And we got to stand strong on the Word. Because if we keep blending, we got to stand out. I don't care if there's 5 people or 500 people, but this church, and Pastor would say the same thing, we must be planted on the Word of God and not divert from it, not blend nothing, not add nothing to it, not subtract anything from it. Jesus is the way. There is no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. That's the truth. That's the prophetic gospel message of helping them get free of their bondage and their sickness and their poverty and their junk. There is no other name. Everything else is a band-aid. Okay. Hallelujah. I'll preach it. I don't care. I'll preach it. They can love me or hate me. But if you want to be free, we can help you get free. When you're sick and tired, when you're sick and tired of the Midianites taking your stuff, you'll get right with the Lord. When you're tired of being sick and tired, when you're tired of having more bills than you have paycheck, when you're tired of ramen noodles all the time, when you're tired of the enemy taking the seed that you're planting, you'll take a stand for Jesus. Amen? So go with me into Romans. You can't take a stand if you're taking a stand on sand. You have to take a stand on the rock. Amen? All right. I'm going to get you. You guys can talk back to me a little bit tonight, you know, because this is good word. This is a word that may seem strong, but if you don't tell people the truth, all you are going to do is enable them to continue to live an impoverished life of sin and repeating a cycle. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, God help me. Then boom, I do. And all it is a vicious cycle. And one of these days they're going to run out of cycle. And if they're in the wrong cycle of sin and they die, you ain't going to see them anymore. That's just the word. Not everybody gets in. People don't like hearing that. They think I can just live my own way, be my own person, do what I want to do, live a life of lying and cheating and cowardness and sexual immorality and all that stuff. You know, boy parts only go with girl parts. You can't have girl parts and girl parts and get any kids. You can't have boy parts and boy parts and think those are going to be kids. God designed women and God designed men for a purpose. Anything else is perverted. Amen. It's perverted. It's junk. It's demonic. It's not right. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. You were all taught, all you men were taught, aim for the center of the water bowl when you're a kid. You all know. Women, they all sit down. We got it. Men, you know, don't leave the lid up. Right? It's pretty easy when you think about it how to tell. We got these people saying, well, I relate to women. I relate to be a man. Come on. God didn't make any mistakes. Right. You have the parts you have. You're a boy. You get the picture. It's time to quit this nonsense. Yeah. Kids at 5 and 6 year olds need to be told, you're a boy, you're a girl. Quit this stuff. Yeah. Come on, I'm preaching better than your amen. And because this is ridiculous to have people telling, well, I relate to this and I'm 5. Quit it. Yeah. That's demonic. That's sin. Don't tell me you're a Christian who believes this word of God when you're going to pervert Genesis. God made male and he made female. He made it really easy. Go to a farm. You can tell the difference. Come with me to the barn. I'll tell you. You can find out. Those are boys. Those are girls. And it don't work when the boys get together. And it doesn't work when the girls get together. Come on. Right? Come on. It's time to end this stupid stuff. This is ridiculous. 5-year-olds going, well, I think I'm a boy. No, teach them right. Train them in the way they should go so that when they're old, they'll not depart from this. Be a parent. It's ridiculous. I know. I'll get off my soapbox. Go with me. Romans. You want to end the cycle? Take a stand. Take a stand. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, Verse 8 says, but what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. Amen? You've got to confess with your mouth. You've got to believe in your heart. You've got to turn and repent. You want to break the cycle? I'm giving you this word here in this 45 to 60 minutes is enough Bible to save the entire world. You can take these same verses and preach this similar message, tell your testimony on what God did for you, how he brought you out of bondage. Why did he bring you out of bondage? Because you repented and you turned. You made mistakes. I get it. We all fallen short, right? So once we know this truth, what do we have to do now? Well, now you have to go to 1 John 1:9. Because just to know the truth doesn't get you anywhere. You have to do something with it. Hello? You want to break the chain? Well, I'm just going to sit here, my lazy boy, and hope that someone brings me this and does this. No. Now you have to put some legs on those prayers, like Pastor Burkhardt would tell me. You got kids that need meals? Get right. Live right. Watch God bless. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. What's your Bible say? If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Uh-oh. How many times have I stood in this pulpit and told you that I've messed up or fallen short? Witness to anyone who will listen that says, listen, I was the chief of sinners, and it wasn't till I got right with the Lord, and I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I wasn't ashamed of what Jesus Christ did for me. And I watched the power of the Holy Ghost come into my life, and I've seen time after time after time how He's brought me through situations. Hello? If we confess our sins. You know, we had a big deal with the church a couple years ago. Remember when we had a big deal and I was in the camp of saying, hey, I care about the sheep. I agree here. We should do this. We should hold off on a few services. We'll meet remotely. We'll have the broadcast and all that. I get it. I had to repent of that. I should have stayed stronger. I learned. I should have been a little stronger and say I should have been able to see. But I was concerned about the sheep, and that bothered me that people get sick. I thought, oh, this is not good. You know that little COVID word? The plandemic, the terrorism, you know that thing. And then we find people that took the jabberoonie. And they thought, oh, I'll take this, I'll be better, I'll be safe. I know I'm on a soapbox tonight. God bless them. I would repent if I were you. You put stuff in your body you didn't know what it was, and now there's consequences for that. Are you still going to heaven? Yeah. But you know what? Those things were put into bodies, and we have no idea what that stuff really was. Come on. People, we're seeing now people's health has been affected. We're seeing things going on with backs and legs and blood pressure and all the stuff that's going on. Hello? Yep. I know I'm on a soapbox, but you got to stand strong, and I'm going somewhere because Gideon was assigned to challenge some things. I've had to repent about a lot of things. And it's easy to look back, isn't it? We got 20/20 vision when we look back and see, man, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd been stronger here. Instead of walking in fear. Because that's what people did. Some stood strong, but others walked in fear at times. Hello? I'm going someplace. I'm going someplace. Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the wine press in order to hide it from the Midianites. We talked about this. Why was Gideon trying to thresh wheat in a wine press? How many of you ever made grape juice? Yeah. I don't know about you, but why would you put wheat in a wine press? What are you going to get out of it? You see, when you thresh wheat, it's designed to be outside and be in the air and be open, and the chaff blows out. A wine press smushes like grapes and olives to get the anointing, to get the oil out. He's standing behind that stuff and says, hey, it's time for you to get out there, mighty man of valor. It's time for you to be a messenger and say, listen, don't walk in fear. Don't just accept the next thing that they want to put in your arm. We learn from the history. Okay? Repent and turn and learn from our mistakes. Okay? Don't accept a chip. There's people already putting chips in their arms so they can start their beloved car. Don't do it. Don't put a chip in your body. Don't accept something you don't know what it is. Stand strong and say no. This will probably be an interesting message. I'll probably get some emails on this one. Because why wasn't I the guy that stood strong instead of behind the scenes going, I wouldn't do that. You don't know what that is. And only to see people suffer now because of it. I wish we'd have been a little more bold and said, don't. Whatever you do, don't. I know the pandemic is bad, and I know the sickness is bad, and the things are, but don't do this. This doesn't line up with the Bible. This is walking in fear. Come on. Because what's next? To take and to steal and to harm and to rob and to have control like the Midianites. Don't give the Midianites any more control. And if you and I don't stand strong and we lose our voice, they win. I know I'm preaching at a different level than you guys are used to. But if you're going to be a messenger, if you're going to be God's prophet, if you're going to be God's one he sends to help bring people out, then you've got to be bold enough that says, I'm not going to stand behind the wine press. It's time to take a stand and say, no, you set the captives free. You identify those things that come against people. You identify the things putting a chip in your right hand. No. This digital currency, this taking away cash and doing all that thing and then can shut your bank account down. No. Hello?
Amen.
Got to take a stand. Shama, remember I talked about the lentils? Gideon, we got to take a stand against this stuff and know that we've got to warn the people. Warn other Christians that need to hear these things. Warn them and say, hey, don't take this next time. Don't take the chip. Don't take all this stuff. Quit accepting that boys are girls and girls are boys. No, God knew exactly what he made. Quit blending this stuff. Quit telling me you're saved when you're lying through your teeth. You're not saved. You're call it as it is. Let's call the spade as it is. In love. You're not committed. It's obvious. Come out and be separate. Let go of the idols and get in Bible-believing church. Come on.
Amen.
Amen. The remnant has got to take a stand. You're going to have to be stronger than what you were before COVID. You know too much now. The church today should be stronger with who's left.
Amen.
I'm running out of time, so I got to go. Do you see the teaching tonight?
Yep.
Here we go. And the angel appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." We talked about that on Sunday. Are you a mighty man or woman of valor? It's time for you to take a stand for what you believe in. You know enough of the Word of God. I just showed you through those scriptures how to help lead someone in salvation, how to get them free, how to set them free. You may not have all this Bible, but you know those scriptures tonight. John 14:6, Acts 14:12, Acts 3 and 19, Romans 10 and 9, 1 John 1:9. Help them. Be strong in the Lord, mighty man of valor, mighty woman. Help them get free. If you really want them to get free of the bondage, help them. Get strong about it. Say, listen, there's a more excellent way. Get compassionate about it. Get passionate. Get a fire about you. We've been reading Reinhard Bonnke, right? I'm gonna have you walking on the top of these chairs tonight because it's like, come on. You know the word. Mighty man of valor, help them. Now's the time to reach them when they're in this impoverished state. Turn to the Lord for your protection. Say no to the Midianites. Gideon said to him, "Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Hello? We have so much vision. Remember when Pastor talked about 2020 vision? Remember that? Well, guess what? Looking back, we learned what not to do for the future. To not walk in fear, not walk in doubt, and not blend those things. Keep your eye and be watching, right? So I know I'm running out of time. And I still haven't got to these verses because I'm really running out of time fast. But Gideon has a problem with accepting his call. That's why he's by the wine press. Gideon is having... Gideon is having doubts about his call. And the Lord has to help him get out of his mess, give him some confidence. But Gideon ends up having to... His first assignment is he destroys the altar of Baal. It starts in your home. If you have things that are not giving God the glory, if you have things that are displeasing to God, it's time to get them out of your house. Gideon had to go and he had to tear down these things. And for sake of time, I don't have time to read them. I wanted to, but basically, he tore down in his own family. His father had worshipped Baal. And he had to tear these things down. It's time to tear these things down in our homes. Get rid of any of the junk. We got a book just the other day that was given to us. And one of them was not right. It started at a very early age to enter in a bit of lust and pornography into the home. I said, "No, not in my house. Trash." Wasn't full blown. It was just those little nuggets. Those little insights. Not going to have it. That Harry Potter stuff, not going to have it. Witches, Halloween, all this stuff that's getting ready to happen. Ain't going to have it in my house. We ain't doing trick-or-treating. It's time to take a stand, church. It's time to be a mighty man of valor and say, "No, not in my house. We ain't having that here." When the junk comes in on TV and they're using the Lord's name in vain, off. Take a stand. Come on. Am I preaching too hard? Am I preaching too much? Are you okay? I'm trying to teach. But if someone doesn't help you get this backbone about you, you're going to find yourself in an impoverished state too, and the Midianites are going to come in and take everything you got. Right. And if you don't learn to defend your lentils, I know I'm a lot bolder tonight than I've probably been. And I'll probably get on some Facebook trouble. But you know what? If you really love somebody, you got to tell them the truth and love and say, "Listen, you tell me you're serving the Lord, but yet I see this, this, and this. Why is golf and fish and all these other stuff more important than coming to the house of the Lord? Tell me why. It's your choice. You have free will. I had my own idols. I get it. I'm not casting blame or condemnation because I had my own to deal with. But do you not see? See, the devil has blinded their eyes, and it's time to get the scales off if you really want them set free. But you're going to have to lead your home like Gideon and say, "No, we're not having this Baal worship." And then, like all of us, Gideon needed some encouragement. Gideon needed some reinforcement because it's easy to knock down some stuff in your own house. It's not so easy to take the battle outside your house. Well, maybe it's not even so easy for you to do it in your own house. You got to be the spiritual leader and say, "Nope, not watching that anymore. Get it off. not having it. Because you know why? Because you open the door to the enemy. In your eyes, in your ears. Hello?
Yeah, sure.
I'm gonna try to wrap this up because I've got to get somewhere. Because we know some things now that we didn't see back in 2019. We know some things now that now it's like, okay, we see some things happen. We see through Revelation, we see through Daniel, we see all these things. It's like, oh, I didn't really see it before, but now my eyes are open. So if your eyes are open, that means don't repeat history. Otherwise, you're just going to redo the cycle, and you're going to be waiting in line going, hey, where's my next one? No, I'm going to trust in the Lord. You're not putting that stuff in me. So look at this. He needs some little encouragement, and he puts down a fleece. So Gideon said to God, if you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said. And it was so. When he rose early next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. Oh, and look at this. Okay, that worked, God. That worked. But now, watch Gideon again. Then Gideon said to God, do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. How many of you ever just need another touch? Like, well, I had some lack, and then I didn't really know. Then all of a sudden we have a Sunday morning service like we had a week and a half ago. And the Lord just shows up and reminds you, go, I'm with you. You had some doubts, but I'm with you. Mighty man of valor. Amen? So here it is. Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night. It was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So now here we are. Had a word from the Lord. Gideon's getting stronger. He's like, I got to get out there. I got to warn the people. I'm going to go outside now. I took care of my own house. Now I'm going to do what God's called me to do. Are you seeing the heart of the message today? So look at this. I got just a couple more minutes. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. This is chapter 7, verse 2. To give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own has saved me. Uh-oh. So here we have Gideon. God encouraged. He's got a mission. He's got to be bold. He's got to get out there. We've learned how to get free. We've learned enough scripture to help people get free. We're going out. Here Gideon's going out. But Gideon is given a whole army of people. A whole bunch of them. Many of you know the story. This is Children's Church. They talk about this, but there's something deep here. Okay? In the Word here, it says, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. There's a dangerous thing when you think that you've done it all on your own. When you fail to give God glory for your job, for your home, for your wife, for your husband, your vehicles, money, let me tell you, that's not good. If it wasn't for the Lord, I would not be here. It's because of the Lord that I stand here. It's because of the Lord that I still have a wife. It's because of the Lord that I have a son. It's because of the Lord that I have a job. It's because of the Lord that I no longer live in that impoverished lifestyle of lack and that circle because I gave my heart to Christ. Do I go through things? Yes. But it's about turning from that stuff and coming out and be separate and giving God glory for what he's done in your life. You are a manager. You're a manager of what God has given you. And you can either just throw it away, you can blend it, you can do whatever you want. But we're not to add or subtract from this. Because you know what happens when you do? The plagues come. Did you catch that? Heartache, lack, locusts coming. We have a problem in America. We've lost our first love. We've placed idols before God. We can have $18 million golf tournaments on Sunday, but we can't get people into church. We can have bass tournaments, 50 to 100 people, $75,000 to $100,000 boats, $80,000 trucks. Who's first? Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, hello? Let him depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained. Have you seen anything recently that would make that many people turn away? How many people did you see turn and run in fear in the last 2 years? You see, we made it through, church. The remnant has made it through. The Lord is doing some pruning here. 22,000 people. Can you imagine having a church with 23,000 people? Woo! Boy, we could do some stuff, couldn't we? You imagine helps and ministries and the amount of money that come in and all the stuff we could do? Don't think about it too long because you can't do nothing without the Lord. I don't care if you have 30,000 members in your church. If the Lord ain't there, you still got Ichabod written on your side. Come on. I know I've been preaching, but now I gotta get you to a level because fear came in. There was a distinction, just like this: 22,000 people left. Gideon is put in charge of this mighty army against the Midianites. Can you imagine what he felt like when 23,000 people left? Ouch, right? Man, we had it so good. There's all these people. We could do anything. We can have all this. 20-some thousand. Now he's got 10,000. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Interesting. Any of you had to take some tests recently? See how strong your faith really is? Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you, and of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. In other words, he's making a distinction. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got on their knees to drink water. What's the big deal? It's just getting a drink of water. What's the big deal with just being an entertainment church and watering down the Word? What's the big deal about blending Scripture? What's the big deal about blending the Word of God with idols and and live any life of adultery and fornication and lying and cheating and sexual immorality. What's the big deal? I can do that and be in church and love God and do all that. There's a distinction coming. The Bible says that all liars, cowards, sexual immoral will have their place, the second death in the lake of fire. Unless you repent and turn, you're in trouble. That's what your word says. So what's going on here? One has their heads down, not paying attention to anything. So first we had fear, 20-some thousand left. Now we have the next cut. The next cut is, are you going to be lapping like a dog, head down, or are you going to be watching? Because the Bible says to watch and pray. You don't know the time or the hour when the thief... If you knew when the thief was coming, watch. Otherwise, you got your head down. You can't be prepared for the ambush. I'm trying to teach you something. If you know when the ambush is coming and you're watching, you can defend your pea patch and your lentil field. You can take a stand against the enemy. If you're watching for the things coming in your house, you can watch for those things that came in by the TV. You can watch for those things that came in by the innocent gift of a book. You can watch for the junk coming into the phone. You can watch for the subtle hints of pornography coming in your ads on your phone. You say, no, delete, 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 delete. And you're watching because that stuff gets in there. Or when the fear comes in and they're doing stuff and checking to see how far can they push people? How far can we push it before they resist? You better be watching. When you have people putting chips in their hand just so they can unlock their car better, you better be watching. There's an evil one. And the ambush is coming. If you're going to be a protector of the anointing, if you're going to be a man or woman of valor, you better be one of these ones, spiritual men of your house. You better be watching for the ambush. That's what's going on here. They're ready. I'm taking a drink because the Midianites are around the corner and they're going to see if they can take your head off. They can see if they can get you separated from the body of Christ. See if they can get you separated from church. Are you listening? When the spirit of Jezebel is running wild and you let the spirit of Jezebel run wild in your life, before you know it, you and your whole family will be out of church. You better take a stand and be watching and say, nope, I'm the spiritual authority of my home. Amen. Mighty man of valor, you love your wife. Women, they submit to the Lord. They're the spiritual leader of their home. Men, we're submitted to Christ. But if you're not going to put on your armor and you're not going to be watching, here comes the Midianites ready to steal again. And the Lord takes this great army, the number of those who lapped, He takes this army, the number of those lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. He goes from 32,000, loses 69% of the army. Then he goes from 10,000 to 300, 97%, all because of the way people were watching or not. Remnant? Look who's left. You're stronger now than you were before because you're no longer going to live in fear. You're stronger now because now somebody's telling you, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. The Lord's coming. But we live in a day when people aren't watching. It's just like living back in the days of Noah. And the Bible says it will be just like that. They're marrying, giving in marriage, going to work, doing all those things, and not paying attention to nothing. but Noah and his family were watching. You see, God placed Noah there to help rescue the people up out of that mess, just like he's called you to rescue your family up out of that mess because you're watching. You're hearing from the Lord. You're stronger now than you ever used to be. You're more wise than you used to be. You're keen to the tricks now. You're keen you're keen to the ambushes now. The Lord said to Gideon, excuse me, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Excuse me. Are you seeing it, Remnant? You're stronger. You're wiser. You've been set apart. You're watching. You're praying. Talk myself hoarse. Because now's the time. You were born for just a time as this. These 300 people were going to be victorious. I asked you on Sunday, I said, how many people have seen or heard, I read the end of the book and we win? Well, guess what? Gideon was designed to win, but there was going to be some heartache in the middle of it. There was going to be some training in the middle of it. There was going to be some educating in the middle of it, me included. That as we go forward, know we're going to be victorious. I would rather have 300. I would rather have 100. I would rather have 50. I would rather have 10 that know who they are in Christ, prayers, intercessors, filled with the Holy Ghost in this army, than I would 30,000 that don't know the Lord going into battle. Are you here? It doesn't matter your size. You're called for a purpose for just a time as this. Don't worry about how God is thinning things out and testing some things. But you know who you have believed. And you go in the mighty power of the Lord. You be watching for the ambushes. You be watching for those fiery darts that are trying to come against you that get you to think about, like Gideon, go, well, did God really say? Or like Gideon, well, I kind of doubt my call. I don't know about this anymore. Oh no, mighty man of valor. Amen? And Gideon won with his army and the power of the Lord. But here's the problem. We don't have time to get there. Gideon, too, went right back into a circle, just like Israel, after all that. And he wanted to take some of the earrings and some of the gold and the shekels for himself and went right back into that cycle. Break the cycle tonight. Break the cycle. Humble yourselves. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Make things right with the Lord. There's no other name by which we must be saved. His name is Jesus. Turn. If there's idols in your life or things you put before God, if there's things that have taken the place of your prayer and your Bible reading, cut them out. Do it in your own house. Let the Lord encourage you on who you are in Christ. Break the chain of the enemies coming to take your stuff and take a stand and go reach those that are in need of being freed of the bondage that you see them in. If they don't receive you, that's on them, but you still go. And then you go the next one. And you go the next one. You know what? Pastor Glenn, he has all those testimonies about helping and leading people to Christ, right? You know why he has so numbers? Because he has so many people that he goes and talks to. His frequency is so high that he can tell the stories because he's talking to so many. But you don't be scared. You be strong. You know who you are, Remnant. You've made it through the fear factor. You've made it through to where you're standing strong in the Word of God. And now, claim that victory. Go in the power of the Lord. Amen? And always remember this. Jesus is Lord. Amen? Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Know whom you believed. Amen? If this message has blessed you, if you're challenged by this message, call me. Message me. Because it's time to break the cycle. It's time to break that impoverished life. It's time to break that self-doubt. It's time to break that worrisome spirit. It's time to break those idols and get rid of them. And it's time to get all in for Jesus. Amen? And I pray this weekend we will see you. Let us know you rededicated your life. So tell us, email us, I rededicated my life tonight. I'm going to get back on that path that you're talking about. He is the way, the truth, and the life. That's where my whole life changed. Jesus, the name by which we must be saved. We must be born again. We can't even see the kingdom nor get through the door unless we're born again. You must be born again. Know that and be blessed in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time here at the River.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.